This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Our next story of the day is actually a pretty big one. We finally got a little more information about MH370. This afternoon, a new report was released from the MH370 investigations. Now, of course, 4 years have passed since the 8th of March 2014 when the Boeing 777 vanished en route from KL to Beijing. It was making its way to its destination until, well, for unknown reasons, the plane made a sudden turn back. It flew for more than 6 hours with its communication systems turned off before plummeting into the Indian Ocean. The plane was carrying 239 souls on board.
Yeah, that's right. So the official search for the plane ended in January last year, 2017.
Yes.
It was led by Australia. The total cost of the search was at 610 million ringgit. It covered 120,000 square kilometres across the Indian Ocean. This was indeed the largest and longest search in aviation history.
Yeah. Earlier this year, the Barisan Nasional-led government struck a deal with US exploration firm Ocean Infinity to begin an underwater search for the plane. Now, this was on the condition that Ocean Infinity would only be paid if they found the plane or its black boxes. The search ended after 90 days and it found nothing after surveying 112,000 square kilometres of the southern Indian Ocean. So far, only 3 confirmed fragments of MH370 have been found. All were wing fragments that had been washed ashore.
Okay, so today's report was prepared by the Malaysian investigation team in consultation with aviation experts from 7 countries. It was initially dubbed the final report, right? That was
right.
What we were all reading for the MH370 investigations. But later, Dr. Cox, so Suchon, who is the investigator in charge, said that the report was by no means a final one. The 1,500-page report actually concentrated on the safety aspect rather than the search. It focused more on disproving theories rather than providing answers, I think.
Right. So some of the things we learned today were that investigations don't know what happened to MH370. It also found that the airplane was turned away from its normal path manually in midair rather than being under the control of autopilot. They couldn't determine why exactly that happened, but said that unlawful interference by a third party could not be ruled out.
Yeah, I think in an effort to make, to rule out actually some of the options, investigators said today that they had considered all conspiracy theories and even the gossip on social media.
Yeah, and God knows there's a lot of that.
Yep. The report today disproved several of the more popular theories. These include the proposition that the tragedy was the result of a suicide mission by the pilot and first officer because psychiatrists found nothing suspicious in their mental health records upon background research. It also ruled out accusations that the plane had suffered a mechanical failure or that the cargo it was carrying had sparked a fire.
Mm-hmm.
It also did not assign specific blame for the tragedy but noted that protocols were broken by the air traffic control in Malaysia and Vietnam because it allowed the plane essentially to go missing for 20 minutes before anyone was alerted.
That's right. Now, we have on the line Grace Nathan, spokesperson of Voice 370, the Association for Families of the Passengers and Crew on Board MH370. Her mother, Anne Daisy, was on the plane. Grace, thank you so much for joining us again. Talk to us about what transpired today. What were your thoughts on the report?
Okay, so basically this report was prepared by the Malaysian NX-13 safety investigation team. There's a team in charge of investigating the airworthiness of the aircraft and whether there was any safety concerns. And the purpose of this team is to prevent future aviation accidents. So that being said, this team, that wasn't their point or purpose to investigate who did what wrong. It's not their duty to assign blame or to find out what happened to the plane or to find out whether the search should go on. And there was nothing new in the report, nothing we didn't already know. But what the report has done is it has listed the mistakes made by relevant parties. And no, nothing new that would, that is like we didn't know before this.
Right. Grace, we heard that some of the next of kin had pointed out that there were some inaccuracies in the report. I mean, granted, it's 1,500 pages long. Was this something that you found as well?
Well, I haven't been through the entire thing because it's over 1,000 pages, but I did skim through it and I think there were a couple of mistakes about that the crew members had they noticed that like one of the crew members on the plane, they had written the biodata of all the crew members, excluding the name. So they say, oh, the head of the crew was married and had 3 children. And I think the mistake was that the person had 4 children, but they had put 3 children. And the point the crew members were trying to make is that, well, if they can make mistakes on these simple things, we're not sure what other mistakes they may have made.
Right. What were the reactions of the other next of kin at the press conference today?
I think what the next of kin were truly hoping during this briefing was not just for the report to come out and not just for the report to maybe have some direction about the future, but they were also hoping that their questions and queries would be answered. So I think what we as the next of kin were hoping was that there would be a panel there who could answer our questions, like someone from DCA, someone from MAS, someone from the investigation team, all the relevant people who could answer any and all of our questions. So what happened today is that our main concern is for the search to continue, but no one could answer our questions about a future search or the current status of the search, because this was nothing new. We didn't really have any questions about all of this information that has already been in the public domain for the last 4 years. Our concerns were more about the future and what's going to be done. Is it going to stop here? Are there any efforts being made, any initiatives being made? None of these questions, which were really our questions, were answered today. There was no one there to answer those questions.
All right. So throughout this time, were there any channels at all that were made available for you and the other next of kin to actually ask these questions?
The thing is that we have never been treated as a party that could, we have not ever had a dialogue with anyone in concern. It's been 4 years, we've never had a sit down with the investigation team. This is the first time we've sat down with them and had a Q&A with them, and it's been 4.5 years. So for us, you know, we've never had this in the past, and we were hoping that with the change of government that, you know, there would be a new approach and they would treat the next of kin better, because we've asked many, many, many times to be treated as part of the investigation and not incidental to it.
And has there been any improvement at all in the communication aspect since the change in government?
I mean, there was some improvement, but it may be a little too late, because, I mean, they did invite the next of kin from overseas, but they made that invitation on Friday evening, and for people to travel, to apply for visas and this and that was all not considered. So a lot of the next of kin from overseas were not able to make it, even though they offered to reimburse for flights and hotels. So things like that, these offers to reimburse for flights and hotels, maybe if they had been made a month in advance, people could have made arrangements to travel, arrangements to take time off, because this is on a weekday. So someone coming from overseas won't just have to take 1 day off. They might have to take a few days off because they have to travel back to their country.
Right. So the investigator in charge, Dr. Kok Soo Chon, said that this is not the final report. What seems to be the next step after this for you and the other families of the passengers on board?
So for us, of course, what we want is for the search to go on. And we understand if it's not immediately possible for the search to go on, but we want the doors to remain open. We want the government to be forthcoming, and we want the government to take a very open approach and to not say things that would indicate that this chapter is closed, that this is over. We don't want them to send the wrong signal, because we want them to encourage other companies to come forward and offer to search, especially if the search is on a no cure, no fee basis. We have nothing to lose. And we want the government to take this open approach so that people can come forward, people can still offer to help, offer their expertise, offer any special equipment that can be used, that sort of thing, so that the avenue is still open to people who want to pursue it.
Thank you very much, Grace, for sharing that with us. That was Grace Nathan, spokesperson for Voice 370. Sharing her thoughts on this new report. Every time I speak to Grace, I don't feel any less depressed, because it feels this question of lack of communication between the government, between the authorities and the victims' families is just, it's unacceptable, really.
Unacceptable, as well as the fact that so much time has gone by. I mean, I remember we covered this in the early day, right?
That's early days
when it first happened. Yeah, so a lot of shock, a lot of confusion. It was very clear that the authorities were not prepared for this. And, you know, that was broadcast all over the world. Everybody
the
saw
unpreparedness, right?
How inept we were at handling this situation, and all the confusion and the hurt and the grief that the families were going through at the time. And it doesn't feel as though anything has changed by way of stepping up and offering comfort.
No, nothing has changed. And I think for me, the biggest tragedy of all of this is what are you doing this for, right? I mean, you're doing the search, you're trying to do this investigation. I mean, the people who are affected most, sure, yes, there's a big impact on the aviation industry and all of that stuff, but the people who are affected the most and impacted the most are the families of those on the plane. So they should be your priority. At least keep them in the loop. They're not even asking for much.
Absolutely. I mean, the lack of clarity, because I think the perception at the time, right, there was a clear lack of transparency. A lot of information could not be shared immediately, could not be confirmed immediately. But, you know, it angered a lot of people, the way that was handled, especially the victims' families in the midst of shock and grief and so much confusion. You know, our authorities finally did pull together to hold decent press conferences, but it was a little, like she said, a little bit, it was too little too late.
Yeah.
And even then, the information wasn't, you know, it wasn't enough. It wasn't, the questions have kept on coming, and they're obviously still asking the same questions.
Yeah, and getting no answers. Well, you know, this is not the final report, at least that much we know. So hopefully, when that final report eventually shows up, hopefully we'll have, well, a few more answers. Here's some music.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.